numbers 19 through 20. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, that they bring you an unblemished red heifer, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never been mounted, and you shall give it to Eleazar, the priest, and it shall be brought outside the camp, and be slaughtered in his presence. And Eleazar, the priest, shall take some of its blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide and its flesh and its blood, with its refuse, shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet material, and throw it into the midst of the burning heifer. The priest shall then wash his clothes, and bathe his body in water, and afterward come into the camp. But the priest will be unclean until evening. The one who burns the heifer shall also wash his clothes in water, and bathe his body in water, and will be unclean until evening. Now a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and put them outside the camp in a clean place, and the congregation of the sons of Israel shall keep them for water to remove impurity. It is purification from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes, and will be unclean until evening. And it shall be a permanent statute for the sons of Israel, and for the stranger who resides among them. The one who touches the dead body of any person will also be unclean for 7 days. That one shall purify himself with the water on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, he will not be clean. Anyone who touches a dead body, the body of a person who has died, and does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from the sons of Israel. Since the water for impurity was not sprinkled on him, he will be unclean. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law when a person dies in a tent. Everyone who comes into the tent, and everyone who is in the tent, will be unclean for 7 days. And every open container which has no cover tied down on it, will be unclean. Also, anyone who in the open field touches one who has been killed with a sword, or who has died naturally, or touches a human bone or a grave, will be unclean for 7 days. Then, for the unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the burnt purification from sin, and running water will be added to them in a container. And a clean person shall take a hyssop, and dip it in water, and sprinkle it on the tent, on all the furnishings, on the persons who were there, and on the one who touched the bone, or the one who was killed, or the one who died naturally, or the grave. Then the clean person shall sprinkle on the unclean on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day. And on the 7th day he shall purify him, and he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and will be clean by evening. But the person who is unclean, and does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water for impurity has not been sprinkled on him, so he is unclean. So it shall be a permanent statute for them, and the one who sprinkles the water for impurity shall wash his clothes, and the one who touches the water for impurity will be unclean until evening. Furthermore, anything that the unclean person touches will be unclean, and the person who touches it will be unclean until evening. Then the sons of Israel the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they assembled against Moses and Aaron. Then the people argued with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness, for us and our livestock to die here? Why did you make us come up from Egypt, to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain, or figs, or vines, or pomegranates, nor is there water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it shall yield its water. You shall bring water for them out of the rock, and have the congregation and their livestock drink." So Moses took the staff from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron summoned the assembly in front of the rock. And he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Since you did not trust in me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, for that reason you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Those were called the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel argued with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them. From Kadesh, Moses then sent messengers to the king of Edom to say, "This is what your brother Israel has said. You know all the hardship that has overtaken us, that our fathers went down to Egypt, and we stayed in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians treated us and our fathers badly. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and brought us out from Egypt. Now behold, we are at Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or vineyard. We will not even drink water from a well. We will go along the king's road, not turning to the right or the left, until we pass through your territory." Edom, however, said to him, "You shall not pass through us, or I will come out with a sword against you." Again, the sons of Israel said to him, "We will go up by the road, and if I and my livestock do drink any of your water, then I will pay its price. Let me only pass through on my feet, nothing more." But he said, "You shall not pass through." And Edom came out against him with a heavy force and a strong hand. So Edom refused to allow Israel pass through his territory. Then Israel turned away from him. Now, when they set out from Kadesh, the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to Mount Hor. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, "Aaron will be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the sons of Israel, because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and his son Eleazar, and bring them up to Mount Hor. Then strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on his son Eleazar. So Aaron will be gathered to his people, and will die there." So Moses did just as the Lord had commanded. And they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And after Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on his son Eleazar, Aaron died there on the mountain top. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. When all the congregation saw that Aaron had died, the whole house of Israel wept for Aaron for 30 days. John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus responded and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a person be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it is coming from, where it is going. So is everyone who has been born of the Spirit." Nicodemus responded and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you people do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes will have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. For their deeds were evil, for everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God." After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. Now John was also baptizing in Aenon, near Salem, because there was an abundance of water there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then a matter of a dispute developed on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all the people are coming to him." John replied, "A person can receive not even one thing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves are my witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ,' but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom, but the friend of the groom who stands and listens to him, rejoices greatly because of the groom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. The one who is only from the earth is of the earth, and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of this he testifies, and no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God sent speaks the words of God, for he does not give the Spirit sparingly. The Father loves the Son, and has entrusted all things to his hand. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Second Corinthians 2. But I decided this for my own sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. For if I cause you sorrow, who then will be the one making me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me? This is the very thing I wrote to you, so that when I came, I would not have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice. Having confidence in you all, that my joy was the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you. But if anyone has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not for me, but in some degree, not to say too much, for all of you. Sufficient for such a person is this punishment which was imposed by the majority, so that on the other hand you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise such a person might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. But one whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did so for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but saying goodbye to them, I went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like the many, peddling the word of God. But as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Proverbs 25:11-20. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper time. Like an earring of gold and a jewelry piece of fine gold is a wise person who offers rebukes to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a person who boasts of his gifts falsely. Through patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks bone. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, so that you do not have it in excess and vomit. Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become wary of you and hate you. Like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow is a person who gives false testimony against his neighbor. Like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a treacherous person in a time of trouble. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is one who sings songs to a troubled heart. Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, God, for a man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My enemies have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life. Because of their wickedness, will there be an escape for them? In anger, make the peoples fall down, God. You have taken account of my miseries. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back on the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mankind do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, God. I will render thanksgiving offerings to you, for you have saved my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living.